Good day, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Cliff Notes on the Global Manufacturing Picture. I'm Cliff Waldman. I'm the host of this show, one of many on Manufacturing Talk Radio. I'm going to call this episode Speeding Economy, Slowing Manufacturing. We have a seemingly odd dichotomy. We're going to talk about it. What does it mean that manufacturing has really been slowing lately, even though the economy is looking healthier and healthier? At the end of the episode, I'm going to talk about, weigh in on the much-discussed issue of inflation. Inflation's an issue that many forecasters fear. And I think from the manufacturing perspective, from the goods inflation perspective, I'm going to offer a few thoughts. While we won't have the first reading of first quarter 2021 economic growth until Thursday, April 29th, many forecasters believe that U.S. economic growth accelerated from the already rapid 4.3% annualized rate seen in the final quarter, in the fourth quarter of 2020. Not all believe. There is a wide stretch of estimates for the first quarter, but the tenor of belief in the forecasting community is for a strong growth quarter in the first quarter of 2021. We all know the reasons. Considerable, historic fiscal stimulus, the biggest since the 1960s, an acceleration of the critical COVID vaccination program, reopening moves in many states. All of these have certainly accelerated the jobs recovery. Average total job growth in the past two reported months, February and March, was a torrid 692,000 jobs. Many jobs recently have come in the hard-hit hospitality and leisure sectors, a good thing to see. Now, some perspective is needed. We are still about 8.4 million jobs shy of the recent peak in February 2020 before the pandemic truly hit. It's about 5.5% off of the peak. But things like a recent decline in initial claims for unemployment insurance suggest that the labor market truly is becoming a plus for overall U.S. economic growth. And as a result, the consumer is responding. He's responding to optimism, to improved vaccine performance, to stimulus, and to better labor market conditions. He's responding with improved, if somewhat erratic, spending. Retail and food services sales jumped by a remarkably strong 9.8% in March from February after a 2.7% decline in February from January. Furthermore, the housing market continues to be a support for economic growth and has been for some time. New home sales, while volatile as of late, remain a strong support to U.S. performance. On average, residential investment added 1.8 percentage points to U.S. GDP growth in the second half of 2020. That's a lot at a time when it was very, very much needed. But while U.S. economic growth may remain probably as strong in the first quarter of 2021 as in the fourth quarter of 2020, and we will see in a few days, or even stronger, U.S. manufacturing growth really slowed from an annual average growth rate of 12.4% in the fourth quarter of 2020 to 1.9% in the first quarter of 2021. Why? What's going on? Shouldn't they sort of go together? Well, certainly the odd winter storms that socked Texas and the surrounding region created a host of supply chain challenges from petrochemicals and other critical inputs that affected a wide range of manufacturing industries, from chemicals to computers. But nonetheless, the 3.7% manufacturing output contraction that we saw in February was so out of line with the history of February manufacturing performance that it's hard to think that other things weren't at play, especially since the output recovery in March was at an incomplete 2.7%. Part of the problem was that weather challenges leaked from February into March. The Federal Reserve, for example, noted that some chemical facilities were still offline in March, remarkably, an issue that affects numerous supply chains. Chemicals are a basic input for many, many manufacturing processes. But more importantly, for the manufacturing output, even beyond these few months, semiconductor shortages continue to be a significant constraint on automobile output growth. The 10% contraction in the output of motor vehicles and parts in February was followed by only a 2.8% growth bounce back in March. That's an odd business and suggests something that goes beyond demand or the normal seasonal patterns. There is a constraint that is coming increasingly from the increasingly difficult situation with semiconductors. And, of course, semiconductors are becoming more and more a part of our lives. They don't just go into cars. They go into computers. They go into our iPhones. Semiconductors are becoming a critical competitive issue for the United States manufacturing sector. The shortages and the inefficiencies in supply chains are something that we are going to have to put into our forecast thinking on U.S. manufacturing. Every month from now, probably for the next few years, as I talk to you, I'm going to have to think about what semiconductor constraints are doing to the current month and to the outlook for the U.S. manufacturing sector. While economic policy is normally geared toward manipulating demand, putting money into the pockets of consumers, putting money into the pockets of businesses, for the post-COVID future of U.S. manufacturing, the U.S. can confront a range of supply issues, from semiconductors and other things, including, by the way, manufacturing workers. And these supply issues are not necessarily going to clear up with the passing of terrible storms in Texas and with warmer and sunnier weather in most of the countries. As I noted in a recent social media post, I think the best metaphor for summing up all this was a skyscraper-sized cargo ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal. That was the perfect metaphor for the current woes of the U.S. manufacturing sector. It was stuck, but it was also dramatically loaded with goods and boxes. So on the other side of thing, demand, U.S. manufacturing certainly has no issues with demand. As suggested by the survey data in the most recent, the March Institute for Supply Management survey report, demand really could not be any stronger. The Purchasing Managers Index was 64.7%. The new orders component was even stronger at 68%. You have to go back to December of 1983 to find a Purchasing Managers Index that strong, and back to January of 2004 to find a new orders reading of 68%. But in that same survey report, survey respondents continue to talk about quote-unquote widespread supply chain issues. The historically forward-looking nature of the ISM report suggests to me that these supply issues, because of survey comments and because of the increasing supplier deliveries index, the percent who's saying that supplier deliveries are slower just creeps up and up and up. These all suggest that these supply constraints, generally speaking, are going to be with us for some time to come. Now, with demand being red hot and supply being constrained and troubled, it is logical to talk on today's podcast with some thoughts on inflation, goods inflation, of course. Many forecasters and economists and financial market players and policymakers and other commentators are very, very concerned about the reemergence of a troublesome inflation, generally speaking, a 1970s-style inflation. And they fear it because of tremendous fiscal stimulus and tremendous monetary accommodation. My view on the general macroeconomic inflation picture is that with so much slack in the U.S. labor market, and with the world economy still tilted slightly toward deflation forces, or at least disinflation forces, it seems unlikely to me that the wage price spiral of the 1970s will reassert itself, even with the massive fiscal and monetary stimulus that we have gotten. In manufacturing, certainly, let's remember that wages in the manufacturing sector aren't just a function of supply and demand for labor in the U.S. manufacturing market, but they are very much affected by the supply and demand of labor for manufacturing in other markets. So global trade and the sophisticated and tight nature of supply chains does that. So we have to think that, you know, there is no chance we're going to see certainly a wage price spiral in manufacturing, and it's unlikely to appear in any other sector. But for the short term, at least, a growing list of supply chain and supply issues in manufacturing is likely to continue exerting upward pressure on goods prices in the short term, and perhaps even past the short term. Scarcity and inefficiency of supply always results in price increases. Let's support this with some data on goods prices. The producer price index for all commodities, which bottomed in April of 2020, continues to soar. It's now well above 2019 levels. Even more telling, the producer price index for total manufacturing industries, and I calculated this on a 12-month percent change basis just to eliminate the, you know, just because of the erratic nature of the data. On a 12-month percent change basis, soared from 1.6% in January of this year, of 2021, to 4.1% in February, to 8.1% in March, a dramatic increase in a few months, suggesting supply chain issues are really getting into manufacturing prices. And I will tell you that that 8.1% figure that we saw in March is the highest since August of 2011. So, while I don't think a wage price inflationary 1970s spiral for the U.S. economy is at hand partially because of the global nature of inflation and partially because there's still so much slack in the labor market, more so than I think the data are showing, I do fear spikes in goods inflation because of these supply chain issues that we're seeing. Now, here's my question, and it's a question that I'm going to leave you with, leave myself with, that I'm going to watch in the coming months. Will this goods price spike at the both at the raw, the intermediate, and the final goods parts of the manufacturing supply chain, will they by itself slow the demand for manufacturing goods? Is this supply problem through prices, through upward pressure on goods prices, going to slow U.S. manufacturing demand? After all, as we know, in the real world, supply and demand are not entirely separate traits. We divide them because it makes analysis possible, but they're part of an ecosystem. They leak into each other. So if we are seeing what the past month's data suggests are such strong rise in prices, you have to wonder if that's it in of itself is not going to affect this very strong manufacturing demand. That is one thing I'm going to be watching in the coming months. Stay tuned. This is Cliff Waldman saying, we'll see you next time.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.